Oh, it's always a happy day when our next guest is here. Our tech guru, Jesse Feiler, joins us this morning to discuss augmented and virtual reality. What are they and what is the difference? Well, we'll get to that in just a moment. Jesse helps people and organizations get to know and use new technologies. Projects have included building the page page caching module, thank you, for the Prodigy web browser for Mac in the very early days of the web, location-based apps for iPhone and iOS, as well as books and classes on new technologies. Forthcoming books include iPad for Seniors for Dummies, 9th edition. Are you responsible for all 8 previous editions?
No, I came in with 9.
Okay, you came in. All right, good. You're saving the series. That's great. Learn Apple HomeKit on the Mac and iOS. And current projects involve using apps and FileMaker databases for identifying and managing risk in nonprofit organizations, as well as helping small communities build location-based apps to promote tourism, downtown economic development, and the wise use of natural resources. Jesse, it's always wonderful to have you on the program.
Good to be here. Wonderful to be here.
Well, I have to say, you know, it seems as though we've been talking a lot about this location-based apps. We've been talking about location-based technologies. And so let me get this right. We were all leading up to Pokemon Go. That's the culmination of all of what we were working on, right?
Yes, and we knew from the beginning.
Did we?
Yes, we knew, about 12 years ago.
Yes.
We said, yeah, we're going to do Pokemon Go and we're going to build all of this technology to make it possible, which is actually sort of the reversal. We built the technology and then we knew it would be incredibly useful. And it is incredibly useful everywhere. We just didn't realize it would be Pokemon Go, which has been phenomenally successful.
Yeah.
And within days of its release, I mean, the numbers are linked on the website. Incredible. And the only reason it's not even bigger now is because it was sort of a PR nightmare that you can't control. Immediately after Pokemon Go was released, getting this massive interest in publicity, the American election sort of exploded into something bigger.
Yeah.
But once that dies down, I think Pokemon Go hasn't even been released everywhere around the world.
So my niece, who is of college age, is out in Connecticut, and she said that every night about 7, 8 o'clock, her and a bunch of her friends, they go out, and she's taking pictures, literally hundreds of people running up and down the beaches of Connecticut on the Long Island Sound looking for the Pokemon, and it's like you're the only one. If you're not there with your phone trying to catch the Pokemon, you are the outcast. If you're just there to enjoy the ocean, then you're weird. So, but I assume we could easily dismiss this as a fad. We could easily dismiss this as something that is silly and frivolous, but we can also look at it and say, well, this is kind of a neat way of showing us the power of this technology.
Yes, and the numbers of users and the dollars that it has generated immediately are just, you know, unbelievable.
Can I ask you a quick follow-up question to that? So how do you make money off of it?
Monetizing apps, in fact, monetizing the web in general, all of your questions are great.
Well, thank you.
But this is one of the greatest.
Well, thank you.
And the answer to that is we don't know.
Okay.
We know pieces of the puzzle. And one of the ways in which Pokemon Go is making money right now is selling the app. That's the simplest way in the app world of making money. You sell the app.
Now, did I buy this? I have this on my phone, but I don't know if I did. I pay money for this?
Well, there are things that, and buying something has several different aspects to it.
Right.
You buy it, and then there are in-app purchases. You can buy more
yes.
game pieces, more hints, and
yes.
so forth.
Yeah.
So that's the model, and there's a hybrid, which is the freemium model, so-called. We don't seem to use that word much, but it's true, where the initial quote-unquote purchase is free, and then you buy game pieces, assets or so forth within it.
And they got you, too, because you're in that one crucial point, and they remind you, oh, for $1.99, you could get 20 more tries, and darn it if you don't do it.
Is that the answer to how we make money?
I guess so.
And the balance between that, what's been evolving over the last few years, and people are still trying to figure it out, the balance between the pure buy-the-app model, the pure free model,
yeah,
and the in-app purchases with either free or purchased apps.
And, of course, I assume this goes without saying, but just the fact that every newscast on, I mean, this did rival for a while the U.S. election. And as you mentioned, this hasn't even gone worldwide yet. So just the publicity that it's been getting has to be worth a fortune.
Yes. And, again, monetizing that is the key issue. But it's getting people – one of the things that is very exciting to a lot of people about Pokemon Go is, yes, everyone is out there. I live in Plattsburgh,
yeah,
which is a small city of 20,000 people. Nice. I live near the downtown. Well, everyone lives near the downtown. But, you know, 2 blocks from Lake Champlain, 2 blocks from downtown on a dead-end street.
Yeah.
And most of the traffic on that street consists of people making U-turns because they thought this was the road that goes to the old base. That's most of the traffic. And most of the foot traffic is a few people cutting through to another area. When Pokemon Go first hit, I saw groups of people several times, like 6 people together out, going up and down the street. Now, we just don't see that on McDonough Street,
right,
in Plattsburgh. And it is, remember at the beginning of the web, we were worried that people would use the web and just stay in their rooms and not interact with people.
And now we're upset that they're out roaming around.
Yeah. I mean, so people are never satisfied.
Well, I
but,
don't know.
But it gets people out. This is something we recognized as an issue at the beginning of the web, and we never addressed it frontally, and now we have.
And of course, we don't have to get into all the concerns about, you know, going places where you shouldn't go and all of that stuff. But because I assume initially or eventually all of those kinks will be worked out.
Yeah. And the fact that it's asking people or require, in order to play the game, you have to get out and go places and look.
Yes.
I mean, if you say we have a tool that is very popular that gets people to go outside and look at the community in which they live, I mean, that is, it's valuable publicity for Pokemon, but it is incredibly valuable for communities, for downtowns, for health, for everything. I mean, it's
right.
Terrific.
Well, as long as they're out looking for Pokemon, they also perhaps do some sort of community service would be nice as well.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. A new form of community service has evolved, which consists of hollering, "Stop it! You're going to walk into that." You know.
Don't go into the lake.
You know. But really, the idea of a game that forces people to go out and look at their communities and interact with their communities is fantastic.
Okay, so augmented and virtual reality. Is that what we're talking about here?
This is really augmented reality.
Okay, so what is the difference between augmented reality and virtual reality?
Oh, dear. First of all, in both of those terms, the word reality,
yeah,
doesn't refer to what you and I might consider to be reality.
Kind of a wink and a nod to reality.
Yes.
Okay.
It is the, in most cases, the representation of reality that we see on a screen.
Okay.
And the screen may be on a computer. It may be on goggles. Remember Google Glass?
Yes.
And now that the VR goggles are all over the place. Or it might be on your phone. So it is that representation of reality that we're talking about either being virtual or augmenting. Virtual reality is a reality that is constructed from an idea or anything. Could be based on what happens out there. It could be real. Virtual reality is, for example, the simplest case, is when you go to a planning board meeting or something, or and you look at a drawing of a new building or an image of a new building as it will look when it is placed at this location.
And they have little faceless people who are walking around. They bring you through the various windows and doors. And
yes. And but the other buildings that are on the street
are the real, are the real buildings.
So it's a virtual.
If I go over to the mall and go to Dave and Buster's and get into one of those arcade machines, that will bring me. I can go motocross racing. I can go skiing. I can go hunt for ghosts. I can do all kinds of things, and that puts you in a world where there's all these things happening, and that's a virtual reality world.
And the extent to which it is convincing depends a lot on the presentation, whether it's on a screen, whether it's on goggles, so it is really immersive.
Completely, you're there.
Yeah, and virtual reality is. Where's my list of things? I have a list here.
All right.
And what? Well, I talked about architecture. Another area where it's used a lot is in manufacturing, so that people can either practice or actually do a job of assembly or construction or something in a model that is virtual, but it's not real.
Okay.
So
is that similar to me doing like the Times crossword puzzle on my iPad?
In ink.
Okay. In ink. Right.
No.
Exactly.
Except. No. I take it back. In pencil, because you can get rid of it.
Well, yeah, you can. It's press not, the button. Yeah.
If you do it in ink on the paper.
Yeah, you
have to buy a new paper when
you're locked in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know. So it's a lot very good for presentations of architecture and so forth, and it's used a lot in medicine now. So that you can see, so you have an enlarged image of what's going on there, but it is what the doctor is looking at.
I can see my trachea.
Yeah. Whatever. Someone can see your trachea.
Oh, right. I don't know.
The augmented reality is a different form of that, which takes that image and then modifies it. So that, for example, it takes the image of your trachea and it might put an arrow on the image that says Joe's trachea.
Okay. The augmentation, then.
That's the augmentation. The augmentation that most people are familiar with is weather maps on television.
Sure.
Here's a map. You know, it's a map, and it might even be a satellite image. Not just a map, a satellite
image.
The radar. And then on top of it is the radar, which is the augmentation that says, hey, there's this.
Here's this front that's going to be moving in. This is where it's been in the last hour, and this is where we think it's going to go in the coming hour.
And in the image that you see, which might be a satellite image, in that image you can see a bunch of clouds.
Yes.
But when it's augmented with the diagram of the front, you can see that those clouds represent the leading edge of a front.
So
does that make sense?
It does. Here's my question, though. How does that help us? So, I mean, obviously, when we're talking about health, okay, that's good. Anything that can help us improve our health and get us better, that's great. And I guess I ask this question more in augmented reality of how that then assists us in our daily lives.
The simplest answer is it makes Pokemon Go possible.
Okay. Which just makes us happy and all's good.
How does it affect us in our everyday lives? It lets us add another dimension to the image, this basic reality that we're looking at. We're looking at an image of a satellite image, and the dimension that we can add to it is where there is a cold front. And sometimes not every front is visible with clouds.
No.
So we can see something like, or sometimes adding the temperatures on top of it augments the image.
And gives us more information and ultimately
and
then
so
more knowledge.
And so you can infer, you know, where to go. It gives you, I'm very interested in doing things now, looking at some natural resources in a community where you can take the map of the community and color parts of it to reflect momentary usage of things like electricity or water, so that you see another dimension on top of that image.
I was at a meeting not too long ago, and there was something in our community that was there that they put up, and it was very ugly. And everybody sort of said, well, why are you putting that up? Because it's ugly. And then a couple of years now down the road, the whole community has come together and say, oh, wow, that's really ugly. And then the presentation that came in and taking this the hideous thing down is a beautiful picture of what it looked like before it was there, and erasing that and taking out the ugly thing and showing us what was there before, but in this reality, augmented reality of saying, oh, this is what it could look like again. And that seems to be very helpful in people's minds.
You're talking about Penn Station, I assume.
I'm not, but I don't want to get into a whole can of worms of my community. But, you know, it's one of those things where you look at it and you say, oh, well, this is what it looked like. But then it's
this
been so long we sort of forget.
Like.
Yeah, this is what it could look like again.
Yeah. And by the way, in talking about this, these are my takes on those two terms because other people have different. We're all in the same ballpark where there's some minor issues that.
But am I
the details? But you're in the right ballpark. Yes.
Am I right in my original statement of what I said? The good thing about Pokemon Go, of course, a lot of people can dismiss it as silliness or it's a game and who cares, but it does give us a very nice primer, a very nice introduction, sort of back when we were first getting computers and laptops. Of here, play solitaire for a couple of days, figure that out, and then you'll learn how to use the computer.
Yeah. And also, if you think about it, Pokemon Go is putting these images in certain places that are related to whether it's water or...
Well, yeah, if you do it on Central Avenue, it'll have the picture of WAMC right here.
But when a Pokemon Go character shows up, it's related in some way to where it is placed.
That's right.
Now, let's talk... Can we leave Pokemon Go for a moment?
Yes, of course we can.
The concept of placing an image in a place to which it has some relation is, if you're an advertiser, you're drooling.
Because I want the Pokemon at my place.
That's one thing, and maybe you want to move beyond it. Pokemon is very nice, and that you want them
yes.
there, but maybe you want a different image on your place. You know, a plate of spaghetti, you know.
Oh, sure, we could do a plate of spaghetti.
Yeah,
right.
You know, all of these things are possible. It's the idea of connecting another piece of data, let's put it very abstract, a piece of data to an image that is related to the image because of something about the image, its location, its current use of electricity, or anything like that. And that's what's very, very exciting, I think.
Well, it's all very cool stuff. As Jesse always does, he puts links up on his website. You can go to the website and you can see much of what we've been talking about for the last 20 minutes or so. NorthCountryConsulting.com is the website, NorthCountryConsulting.com. And you have articles and links and all kinds of things that people can find out more information so they can learn more about augmented and virtual reality.
Yes.
Excellent. Jesse Feiler provides consulting services to small businesses and nonprofits. His website is NorthCountryConsulting.com. He joins us each and every month. We'll be back in the month of September, and we look forward to that. Jesse, always a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Look forward to it.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.